to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
There are a few songs that go right to the core of me. And if you know me, there's a fountain at the core of me that tends to leak out of my eyes. Oh. That song, for me, is what this whole earth journey is about. It is about, and I had no idea she was doing this song. Done. It really is about this way too hot. It really is about this journey of polishing. As a lapidary artist, I start with a piece of rough stone that contains a gem. And the process is to remove everything that's not the gem. Lapidary, we don't create the gems. We evidence them. We find them. We remove all of the matrix that is hiding them. And that's exactly what we get to do in this spiritual practice. We're not here. Rick, can you turn that down some? It's really boomy. And thank you. I'm pretty sure they can hear me. Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah. So, what we are, who we are, is the infinite in creation. We are the thing itself in form. We don't have to become anything. We simply have to remove everything that misrepresents what we have always been. How easy is that? It's okay to laugh. It's simple, and there's nothing easy about it. This month we've looked at the mundane, the ordinary, the everyday. We've looked at the sacred. We've looked at the profane. Oh my. And what we have done is look at creation through three different lenses. We've looked at exactly the same thing. The mundane is the divine in form, being viewed through a lens that calls it mundane. It is no less creation. It is no less God. The sacred, yeah, I'm going to go there. The sacred is the stuff that we set aside that we really like. Right? Those are the things that we qualify as sacred. And then there is the profane, which is the category of dislike. The mundane, stuff we have to put up with. The sacred, we really like that stuff. And the profane, thank you, no. And yet it's all God. See, we teach it's all God. And so my question is, what part of God do you want to get rid of? Huh? Because if it's an all or nothing proposition, I submit to you, you cannot get rid of a part of a whole and maintain it. That if there's only one thing, if you get rid of any part of God, you're getting rid of God. Which means you're getting rid of you. Which may be why we feel so disconnected from ourselves when we do that. Possibly. Could kind of happen that way. Maybe. The antidote is gratitude. Not gratitude as in, I open a box at Christmas time and get what I want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a gratitude that is a knowing that you already are everything you seek. It's not about having, it's about knowing. I heard a story at our last board meeting that has continued to move me. And the story goes like this, as I recall it. There's a village that has been suffering from drought, sustained drought, to where things are not growing. And having recently moved from California, everything's subject to burst into flame at any moment. And it's really scary. And so the village got together to do ceremony, to do prayer for rain. And only one little girl brought an umbrella. If we really believe, wouldn't we all show up with an umbrella? If we really believe that what we're doing is actually going to manifest, wouldn't we live as if it already has? If we don't really believe it, we're just engaged in wishful thinking. And what we're really doing, and here's, I have an oh crap corner, so here it comes. What we're really doing is manifesting our belief, which is that it ain't gonna happen. And then it doesn't, and then we want to say, the teaching doesn't work. Ernest Holmes addressed that. If you believe it doesn't work, you make it not work, and by making it not work, you prove that it does work. Just saying. If I hold in consciousness that it doesn't work, law says, got it. For you, it ain't working. And then it doesn't. We have this little phrase called hidden beliefs for a reason. Because sometimes what's actually operating as a belief is hidden. I invite you to never, and I rarely use all-inclusives, but I'm using one today, never ask somebody what their hidden belief is. If they knew, it wouldn't be hidden. It's not even a reasonable question. What's your hidden belief? Instead, be an example. When you become aware of a belief that was hidden, share that. Begin to practice vulnerability with one another. Dare to own that, huh, you know, the other day I was just diddy-bopping along and all of a sudden I realized this was operating in my belief system. You ever had one of those days? Now you're in a conversation with one another. Now you're learning with one another. And the thing that empowers is now it's safe to grow with each other. Right? If we don't ever share, and this is a thing that is a cultural thing that has to shift in New Thought. When people get sick or they run up against challenges, they go away from the community to work it out and then come back. Stop it. This is where we work it out. This is where the messiness of life happens. This is where the polishing of the stone happens. This is where Rolling River God happens. And I submit to you that it's all driven by motivation. It's all driven by motivation. And so this morning, we're going to look at motivation of gratitude. Not of I'm really happy I have a new car. Not that kind of gratitude, but a gratitude that knows the truth of you. A gratitude that ignites the activity of law on your behalf. Because when we really know that life is unfolding absolutely perfectly, then it does. When we're grateful now, it shows up later. If what's motivating your gratitude now is any degree of lack, if what's motivating your idea of gratitude is to get, that ain't gratitude. That's lack. Because it's motivated by a belief that you're not already that. That you don't already have. It's motivated by the idea of need. And if we are truly whole, perfect, and complete, we need nothing. Right? Now that, it's easy to say until it comes time to pay my rent. Right? And so let's be clear. In the physical realm, there are exchanges. We live in a really nice townhouse. In exchange, we pay the landlord some money. Right? But it's not a need as in something's missing. Because there's nothing, beloved, nothing is missing in you. Nothing. It never has been. The only thing that has ever happened is there's been some matrix obstructing your awareness of the gem that you are. That's all. So we're going to go into, I'm going to invite you, anybody who chooses to, what are you grateful for? Anybody want to share?
Grateful for my daughter.
Here you go, so the folks online can hear you.
Oh, jeez. I am grateful for my family, my daughter, and the wonderful grandchildren, and son-in-law, and the thriving, thriving family.
Awesome. Who else?
Nothing better than that.
Is the hand held on, Rick? Okay. You don't have to stand up. Just speak into the mic so the folks online can hear you.
Good enough. I'm really grateful for all the relationships in my life, past, present, and future. I really feel that connection.
Nice. Who else? We could ship that back there to Mr. Amon.
I'm grateful
after you're done.
For the spirit that lives inside of me and presents itself through me.
Nice. And if you're online, share your gratitude in the chat on Facebook, and I will share it here in the room.
I'm grateful for our daughter being here with us and being home. I'm grateful for just my family, my husband, my mother, my life. There's just so much good that I'm grateful for. Yes. I'll take it. Okay.
I'm very grateful for my ongoing and beautiful awareness of life and of myself.
Thank you, Eugene, for being the mic runner.
No problem. I'm grateful for service.
My gratitude list is very long. I am grateful for my senses to be able to smell, taste, hear music. God, thank God for music. Having known now what it is to not smell and taste. I'm so grateful to be able to smell
nice.
Food and fragrance and flowers and be able to taste the wonderful food and experience that kind of joy as well. I'm also grateful for the simple things now, you know, being able to use scotch tape, you know, having being able to drive, being able to see the sunset, be so many things that are even little minute things, but I'm so grateful for all those. Thank you.
Nice. So I want to share one couple from online here. Gail Curran Peterson says, so grateful to this community that feeds my journey. Gus, I'm sorry, I just killed your last name. He's in San Jose. Gus says, I'm grateful for my incredible CSL family, my beautiful sister, and a treasure chest of lifelong friends. Tina G says, I am grateful for this Facebook broadcast so that I can enjoy today's service from afar. Lisa Marie Lancaster, who was a practitioner with me in Santa Rosa before I was a minister, says, I am grateful to know that I am always supported in my family. Who else?
So I wanted to add my gratitude that I am grateful for my willingness to be responsible for my thoughts in the creative process, even when it's messy and difficult. I'm grateful, and I'm so grateful for so many things outside of myself that it's just a long, long list. So, thank you.
Phil Bocamp says, I am grateful for my husband and my little doggie. I am grateful for our health and for the knowing that we are whole and well. I am grateful for the roof over our heads. So grateful for the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living Fellowship. Grateful for Zoom. And I am grateful that Gus put phonetically how to say his name, Tuwami. Thank you, Gus. Karen Brown says, I am grateful for this teaching and my home at Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. I'm really grateful that we can actually interact with folks online as if they're right here, that we really, there are no barriers. How cool is that?
Jim. I'm grateful for this guy, but don't look at him because he gets embarrassed. I am... like everybody, it's a long list. But what really hit me first was I'm grateful that someone taught me how to be okay in the moment. We've had two ER visits, babies with 104 fevers, and all kinds of stuff going on this week. And I'm really grateful that I know how to be okay in the moment. This is a beautiful moment. And all of you are here, and I'm so grateful for that. So,
thank you. And Phil Bocamp is actually Idalia using Phil's account. I love it. So I'm going to invite each of you. Got one? Okay. Then I want to move into a really sweet exercise.
I want to acknowledge that as I continue to add years, that I will continue to be vibrant, sharing my wisdom, my courage, my vision for what I do. But I also really want to acknowledge, as it just occurred to me, I'm so grateful because I'm sitting between two friends, 20 plus years and 30 plus years.
Nice.
And here we are, just in the middle of it. So thank you.
Nice. So in the center of your table, you will find a card and an envelope and a pile of ink pens. And so I invite you on that card to take a moment to go inward and to write down what you are grateful for now. What's going to happen is I'm going to invite you to address the envelope, put it inside, seal it up. I will mail this back to you at the end of October, 1st of November next year. I'll give you an example of how this can be really amazing and work. I did one of these when I entered ministerial school. And at the time I entered ministerial school, we were standing at the food bank line once a week to eat. And I had no money for ministerial school. I had no money for anything, but I was told, I was called to go to ministerial school, so I did. And what I wrote on one of these in November of 2015 was that I am complete. I have graduated with ministerial school. I am debt free. All is paid for. I still cannot tell you. I'm like a crazy number crunching spreadsheet geek. I can't tell you how it all got paid for. I can't. But what I know is that I completed ministerial school. I completed it a year early, and I completed it with everything paid for. All I did was put, write it down, and then lived it, acted as if, allowed life to unfold itself. And then when I forgot I even wrote that down. And then when I opened it up, I was like, oh, it actually works. Which is a good thing for a minister of science of mine to recognize. So I invite you, be bold. Be bold. These will be kept in a prayer chest, and they will be held in prayer every day until they return to you. Your participation is to know how this stuff actually works. And I will read this. This is like one of the coolest quotes from Spiritual Awareness. Let us learn to make known our request with thanksgiving and with acceptance. And having done this, in the silent communion of our soul within its source, let us believe that the law of mind will do the rest. So I invite you to write it with that motivation. And for those of you online, I invite you to participate. You can send your, what the card actually begins with is, I am so grateful that /4. And so I encourage you to send me an email to revrafe@columbiacsl.com. Please make sure that you include your address, and I will print it out, put it in an envelope, and address it for you so that you too can receive.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.